You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's Post Game Podcast.
Up, up, and away we go. Podcast time for me and you. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi, Jerry. I've been thinking since we did the warm-up show this morning. We briefly talked about I played you a new country song.
Yes.
Or a newer country song.
Chris Long? Chris Young.
Chris Young.
Chris Young.
And then we were also talking about, like, where am I finding new music? Mm-hmm. And it really is puzzling to me. Like, I know where to find new country music. Country radio is still vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
It's still playing the hits, playing new songs, playing the classics. Like, country radio to me is like the top genre. And really, I believe countrywide is the top genre.
Would make sense.
We never really had it here.
No.
Even when we had it here, it was brief. But it is the top genre across the country. So when I want to hear new country songs, I put on my local country station.
106.3.
106.3 down in Jersey. Yeah. We have the 94.7 stream. I believe they still run on
HD2.
The Odyssey app.
Yep.
Yeah, there's great country stations around this country, Jerry. The great WQYK in Tampa.
Right.
WUSA in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
These are stations I remember from back in the day. But I don't have that for rock music.
No.
And I don't know where to go.
Me neither. I like, what the hell is it called? God damn it. In Philly. Is it YSP? No, what is it?
YSP
Philly?
Is now WMMR.
That's it.
Yeah.
When I'm down there, because my sister-in-law lives down there, I do listen to that station. I do like it, but I don't get it up here. You're right. I mean, without K-Rock, what do we have here?
I feel like, you know, there's this whole idea where we would think about music radio, and we would say, they play the same songs over and over again, right? Like a new song comes out and they kind of play it to death. But they did present you with the new songs, right?
Yeah, that's how we learned of them.
Yeah, so-called gatekeepers, Jerry, right? These are the people that would get all of these CDs back in the day. These are all the new songs. They would listen to them. A music director or a program director would say, yes, I'm going to add this song, I'm going to add this song, but not this one. So we did have some gatekeepers. And now we have no gatekeepers. So now it's just an enormous amount of music that I've never heard of from bands I've never heard of. And I don't want to explore 50 new songs. Like, I want someone to tell me these are the catchy songs you're going to like.
Do you think if K-Rock was around, it'd be different? Because I do. That's where I got all my new music from.
I do, too.
I mean, again, as we said earlier, I do listen to the HD2 station, but not often. It's not, while it's programmed in my car, I don't listen to it as much as I used to just put K-Rock on. If you think about this market, you've got DHA, which is a very good station. They do play new music. The problem is the reception is brutal.
Terrible.
Where we live, so you can't listen to that. The Rat Down the Shore, I think, is good, but the reception is horrible, and I don't live far from it. I can't listen to that where I live. I mean, I can, but it goes in and out, and I can't deal with that. So that's off my radar. You've got 104.3, which I don't even know what they are anymore. It's classic rock.
I think classic rock, yeah.
With some, I don't even know if they play
I
don't know what they play.
They haven't played new. I have not listened to them in years, but they were not playing new music.
I listen to 107.1 a lot on the weekends.
The Boss.
But that's classic rock.
Classic rock.
Like, classic where else hits. Are you going?
I don't know.
There is, in our area, there is nowhere else.
That's the thing. You know, I had satellite radio for many years.
Yes.
I got satellite radio in 2003, I think.
Okay.
And I had it up until about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a station on there called The Spectrum that I really liked, and I found a lot of new music that way.
Mm-hmm.
They played new music, classic rock music. It all just had the same kind of vibe. But for the last few months before I finally canceled it, it was all like depressing sounding music. And then I was also finding that some of their core artists, like that I liked, like say Wilco is a band that they've been around a long time. They would put out a new record and this Spectrum wasn't playing it.
Mm.
So I was like, why are they not playing it? And I don't know. I just got tired of putting on the music and everything was depressing.
Right.
Where I was putting on
country.
Could
depress you.
Yeah. Right. Depressing me. So then, you know, Spotify does have these like rock. These are the catch up on all the latest rock.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, there's got to be a list of 50 songs. And I recognize like there's a new Foo Fighters up there and Pearl Jam. And then.
So now you're sifting through an ocean of crap.
An ocean of what is this?
Yeah. No, I hear you.
And I like to try to play fresh music for the music coming back from breaks.
Mm-hmm.
I just need it to sound good the beginning,
yeah.
You know? So I'll kind of go through things, and every one is like this slow, weird sounds. Like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
We are complicating. And I guess rock is dead, Jerry. The Who are finally right.
In this area, it feels like it because we don't have an outlet.
But I kind of feel like it's like that everywhere.
I don't know. Isn't K-Rock alive and well in Los Angeles? KROQ?
Oh, that's a good point.
I mean, I used to listen to that a lot. But you know, I used to stream that. I don't anymore. I just haven't. But like that station's still legendary.
Yeah, I wonder like if I could find playlists online. Like, what's K-Rock in LA playing? What's WXRT in Chicago playing?
That's easy. Actually, K-Rock, they do post their playlists.
Oh, they do?
Yes, because I have looked from going back a couple of years when I used to pick up my kids at school every day, which I don't anymore.
Yeah.
I would check out what they were doing. So here you go. This isn't the most recent, but the week of March 4th.
Okay.
Right, so it's not that far
off. That's pretty recent.
The week of March 4th, here was the K-Rock playlist. Sum 41, Landmines, Royal Otis, Murder on the Dance Floor.
By the way, I just added that song today.
Oh, you did?
From a listener, listened to the warm-up show today, heard us briefly talking about this. The guy said, check out Royal Otis. And
so,
I like that one song.
So they're playing it.
Very catchy. Okay.
Which you'd know if you were out there.
All right.
The two new Linkin Park, one's more new than the other, but the two new Linkin Park songs, Friendly Fire and Lost. They're playing The Cannons, Loving You. I don't know that one. Blink 182, One More Time. Pearl Jam, Dark Matter.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Omens, Just Pretend.
I tried them based on this listener who messaged me this morning.
Green Day, Dilemma, okay. Cage the Elephant, Neon Pill, Fallout Boy, So Much for Stardust. The Beaches, Blame Brett, I don't know that. Oh, I do know that song, actually. Foo Fighters, Under You, Kings of Leon, Mustang, another Bad Omens song, The Death of Peace of Mind. Cold War Kids, a band called Alex Sucks. And the name of the song is What Are We Doing Here?
Oh, I like that. That sounds right up my alley.
That's pretty funny. Another Fallout Boy. Oh, we didn't start the fire. Blah. And Lovely, the band, Sail Away. So there's a lot of new stuff there.
Okay.
With
so
a lot of normal stuff that you would be familiar with.
I guess that's the thing to do, right? Go check out the radio stations that still exist that play rock. Look at their playlist. Hit up Spotify.
Yeah.
See what they sound like.
And see if you like it.
See if I like them.
Mm-hmm. It is different. Like, I love Spotify. I think it's phenomenal the way you can just get anything you want and play anything you want whenever you want. There is something, though, and I know you can also download an album or like an album. It's just different, though, than when you actually buy the album and it's compartmentalized into its encasing and the disc is in there. And if you want to listen to it, you do, as opposed to it all being digital. I know that sounds weird, but it's different.
I think the difference for me in this is I would give an entire album a chance.
Right.
And I don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I did. And because so many of my artists that I've loved my whole life, the songs that have stuck with me over the years were not the singles, you know, were more of the deeper cuts that were on the CDs and the cassettes. And I'm not giving them that chance. Like even this new Pearl Jam, Dark Matters is a song they put out. And then the one I played for you earlier, I'm forgetting what that's called now. But I like those two. But they've got a whole lot. But to me, I'm like, somebody's already decided for me. These are the two good ones. But if I had the CD, like we used to do, I'd pop the whole thing in and give it a listen at least once or twice through to see if anything else caught
my ear. And now you're not going to do that.
I'm not doing that. Mm-mm. And I'm annoyed at myself for not doing that.
Yeah. So we're as much to blame as anybody then.
But it's like they have just as much competition now. You know, we talk about radio and how there's radio stations. Your own radio station itself is competing with itself by saying, oh, you're listening to Boomer and Geo right now. What about BT and Sal? Maybe you missed something good by them.
Which takes you away from the radio.
Yeah, so everyone's fighting, just like these albums now are fighting for ears.
Yeah.
Right? Because there was a band, it wasn't Kings of Leon. Man, there was somebody else who had a popular album out. They just put out a new album.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and I looked and their streams are like way down.
Really?
I was like, no one's given this another chance. I don't know.
I guess that's also like just business. Like you got to get your word out there somehow.
Yeah.
And if you don't promote it, who's going to find it? You know?
Yeah.
It's advertising is a funny thing or marketing is a funny thing. You sit there and wonder, what am I paying for? And what is the return on investment going to be? And you sit there and think, if it doesn't work, I've just blown all this money. But if you're afraid to spend the money, you try and do it in different ways, you get nothing out of it, and you've just wasted a whole bunch of time.
Yes.
You know, and I know it's the risk you take. I'm well aware. You take a lot of risk. You know, on a much smaller scale, when I think about the Cornhole League, we were doing fine. We had 15 or 16 teams. I was happy. You know, I always say we started that league just to keep the gym in my possession on Monday nights so that when it came to baseball winter training for my teams, I had a place and I didn't have to spend this exorbitant amounts of money in these indoor facilities. And so things were fine. We started with like a 14-team league by word of mouth. It was good. It got to 16. I was happy. We weren't making a dime, but we kept the gym. And when winter baseball training came, we had it. It was great. And it wasn't until Jerry Carino of the Asbury Park Press or NJ.com, Asbury Park Press, I think. He's like, hey, I hear you have a cornhole league. I'm like, yeah, it's small, 16 teams. It's nice. He's like, I'd love to do an article on it. And not that that's advertising because I didn't advertise, but he came and wrote this article. The day the article ran on social media and in the paper, I think I got like 50 or 60 emails about it. I'm like, what the hell? And we went from like overnight, went from 16 to like 35. I was like, that's one I would have never in a million years thought to advertise in the paper. And yet that probably would, if I was trying, would have been a big boom. Who knows?
Right. But the idea that an article was written about it and it wasn't presented as advertising.
Fair.
Is probably what also made it more natural.
Yeah, that's probably true too. But I look at it as, that is accurate. I also look at it as it was awareness. People had no idea what we were doing. And all of a sudden, they saw it, and were like, wow, here, this close? Let me call. And in a lot of cases, email, and it worked out well. And if you put a song out there, and you just put it up on Spotify, and you don't tell anybody about it, how would anybody find it?
Yeah, I don't know.
You talk about how many podcasts there are. Think of how many songs there are.
Yeah. If you don't already have a following for your band, like, okay, Pearl Jam, Foo Fighters, they put out a new record, we're going to know about it. Green Day, Blink 182, Linkin Park, these are all bands that put out stuff recently.
Right.
So we know about them. But I don't know about these other bands, and I just see them on a list, and I know nothing about them based on the song title or their band name.
Mm-hmm.
I need gatekeepers. I need somebody at these radio stations saying, this is the track you want to hear, and this is something if you like classic rock or whatever, this is a sound that you're going to enjoy.
I also think there's something to the anticipation of hoping it's coming on soon.
Yeah, on the radio.
Uh-huh, as opposed to the ability of, let me just put the song on. Like, it's always cool if you have like a 15-minute ride and you put a music station on and you're hoping to hear something. And then when you do, you're kind of fired up about it.
Yeah.
As opposed to it's at your fingertips, whether we decide to do it or not is up to us.
Yeah, there's also, you've talked about this before with, like, let's say the new Pearl Jam. I listened to it a couple, once or twice. Mm-hmm. It's all right. If that was on the radio.
You're stuck listening to it.
Yeah, and then I'm going to like it.
Correct. The more you hear it.
Right.
You're not, if it doesn't hook you immediately, you're not going to keep putting it on.
Right.
But if it comes on for you and you're trapped in your car, you're going to listen to it.
Right.
It's true.
Oh, man.
It's very true.
That's so tough right now for man. But then in the same way, you know, I'm living near Asbury Park. One of these bands I never heard of, they'll sell out the Stone Pony. How?
I don't know.
Who knows you? How am I not knowing these things?
I have no idea.
I feel so out of touch.
Selling shows, whether it is a comedian, whether it is a rock band or just a musical act, like I told you, I was at the Hard Rock 2 months ago, and that you heard of them because I texted you the band name. I never heard of it. I'm looking at it. I'm like, what the hell is that? Meantime, then the doors swing open and a million people come out. I'm like, whoa, am I out of touch? Like, clearly they're popular. Never heard of them.
Yeah.
You know, I look at these shows at Count Basie all the time, and I'm thinking, you can sell 3,000 seats? Like, why don't Al and I go do a live podcast there then? I mean, holy crap. It's just weird.
The comedians I understand more than the musical acts, even if I don't know the comedian, because there are so many comedian podcasts.
Right.
That if you're into that sort of thing, they all appear on each other's podcast. Maybe somebody's on. Maybe somebody you don't know is a guest on a podcast you do know and like.
Right.
You hear them, you see they're playing. Yeah, I'll go see them. Or they were funny on that podcast.
Right.
That I could understand selling more than a band that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
But they're out there.
It makes no sense to me. It never has. But, I mean, here, it just says one. This is Count Basie. All right. Is this Count Basie? I think it is.
They have like two theaters there. It gets confusing.
All right. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe some of these are in these smaller ones.
The Vogel.
So I don't know. All right. So I see Jim Brewer there. That to me makes sense. Okay, fine. Then I see Jim Brewer again. Makes sense. Then I see this one. Ossie Wind, an incredible human. Tickets on sale now. What the hell is that?
What is it? Is that a comedian?
I don't know. I've never heard of him.
A speaker?
He's standing in front of a curtain. I don't know if he's a magician. How about this one? Buy tickets now to see J.D. Souther. Who's that?
So J.D. Souther.
Oh, you know who he is.
I do know who he is.
Okay.
But I don't know. He helped the Eagles write songs and Jackson Brown. I think he was like a songwriter.
But why would anyone that's not into music like you are know that?
Yeah, you wouldn't.
So how is it that this is my point? You've just educated me a little bit. You're deep into music, so that name rings a bell. He's trying to sell out, whether they're small venues, arenas. That place holds 3,200 people. Maybe it's the smaller one for 200. I don't know. I haven't checked. I have never heard of him. Why would I click on that?
Right, and you're going to show up there, and it's an old guy.
That too.
You've got a whole career, meaning it's not somebody new that you've never heard of.
Yes. I mean, Jordan Klepper looks like a comedian. I don't know. He's there on May 9th. Todd Rundgren. That makes sense to me.
That one I know.
And you know what the funniest part is? I'll bet you Jordan Klepper has sold more tickets than Todd Rundgren.
Yeah. There was one when I went to, I forgot what I saw at the theater there. But when I came out, there was a big banner, Jerry.
Okay.
For a comedian. It was a fat guy. He was naked. You know, his private parts were covered up. But this was the banner. It was a fat guy, and it was like Stravos appearing here. I was like, who the hell is
Stravos?
But he looked disgusting. Okay. So his show comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
I hear him on Joe Rogan's podcast. I hear him on Theo Von's podcast shortly thereafter. The guy was hilarious. I was like,
now you're going to go see him.
Now I want to go see him. But prior to that, he was a fat guy on a billboard.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. By the way, Jordan Klepper is playing in the Vogel.
The Vogel, okay.
Which is where me and you, I really think we could do a live podcast here. This looks like a couple hundred seats. It looks like a very cool little venue. And we both live near Red Bank, which is kind of neat.
Yes.
and Todd Rundgren not sold out, but the lower level looks like it's pretty well sold out. It's the upper portion that has plenty of seats available.
Okay.
But that would at least feel like a good environment to do a show in because the bottom is sold out.
Yes.
I don't know. I look at this, I'm like,
it is, yeah, it is confusing, man. And I guess for people who work in that business of marketing and advertising and promotions and working with bands and comedians, that's got to be a difficult.
I'll give you one. You've heard of these two. You've heard of Lyle Lovett and Lisa Loeb.
Oh, yes.
Okay. If you'd like, I'm sure you can get a deal on your own section.
Oh, no.
Dude, they're in the theater. The big theater?
Yeah.
I will tell you, the upper deck has sold, just eyeballing it, it looks like the upper deck has sold about 20 tickets.
Uh-oh.
And the bottom, I'll give you the first 12 rows in the middle are sold out. The wings are wide open. And everything behind the top 12 rows, wide open. This looks like they've sold out about 10% of capacity. Mm. And it's May 14th is the show.
Really? Is that a during the week show?
Yeah. Tuesday night, May 14th.
See, that is one.
That's a problem.
If it was reasonably priced, I might do that for an evening.
Right. I happen to agree with you.
I like Lisa Loeb. I'm aware of some of Lyle Lovett's stuff, but right. I think I like his vibe. I would go see that.
Yeah. I.
But I'm not going on a Tuesday night.
And then I'll give you one more because I'm sure you'll know the name. You know Deepak Chopra?
Yeah.
He's Thursday, May 16th. So whatever his talks are,
yeah,
you can rent out the theater.
For Deepak Chopra.
It's a Thursday night, and I will tell you, ticket sales are not going well.
Man, that guy was on Oprah.
Mm-hmm. Now, unless these are all secondary markets tickets, but it doesn't look like it to me. It looks like they're all standard tickets. There's nothing here that tells me it's secondary market, and the tickets aren't expensive. They're all, right, and the tickets are all the same.
Right.
So that's how you know that they're, so I don't know. The whole entertainment business to me is fascinating, from the music to where you get your music to where what sells out and what doesn't.
Right, like let's say you're Lisa Loeb and Lyle Lovett.
Mm-hmm.
How do you decide when you're going to go on tour how many tickets you think you can sell per city? You know, because you got to pick a venue.
And who pays for the venue? Like, do they pay them or do they get a portion of the ticket sales?
I would think they get a portion of the ticket sales.
So you don't. All right. So if you're you own Count Basie. And you either reach out or they reach out to you, you're not giving them a contract and saying you're getting $50,000 no matter who comes. It's based upon ticket sales. Has to be.
Yeah, you know, I actually did hear the comedian Louis C.K.
Mm-hmm.
talk about, I don't know if he did this with Madison Square Garden, because he was always battling the ticket people,
mm-hmm.
where he rented out the garden. He wrote himself. He wrote a big fat check.
You told me about that.
And then he sold tickets himself.
Right. Right. But you got to be confident in yourself.
You got to know you're selling those tickets.
Like, what the hell does Madison Square Garden cost to rent out?
Right.
For him to do that. And he's got to know that he's going to get at least 7,000 or 8,000 people and to at least make the money back.
Yeah.
And like, what's the break even point? Oh, crap. If I don't sell 8,000 tickets, I'm taking money out of my own pocket.
Well, I think he's doing that knowing he's going to, or pretty confident he's going to sell that out.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you have to.
Then you also have people, I guess, like if you're using Louis C.K., if you're a Louis C.K. fan,
mm-hmm.
maybe you're on his mailing list, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if he knows he's got 60,000, 70,000 people in the New York area on his mailing list,
yeah.
then he's probably confident he can. He'll sell the garden, or people will at least know he was there.
Yes, and you can get the word out.
Get the word out.
Last one I'll give you. Saturday, May 25th, Andrew Dice Clay. Not great.
Oh, with tickets available?
Not great, yeah. There's a lot of tickets available. I'm not saying it's terrible.
Yeah.
It ain't great. There's a lot of seats available. A lot. And they're all standard. These aren't secondary.
I'd love to know now what type of crowd he's getting as far as what does the audience look like.
Yeah, I think me and you.
Guys in their 50s?
Yeah, I don't think my son's going to that.
Right.
I don't think he knows who the hell he is.
And are we going for nostalgia purposes? Like the same way we'd go see Todd Rundgren?
Probably. Yeah. I think. I don't know.
Do hickory dickory dock.
You know someone's doing that. You know it.
He does. Oh, he still funny. Does them, though. Because he has to.
You got to.
Yeah.
Like, if I go see Paul McCartney now, and I don't know if I would anymore, even though I still would like to see him once before he dies.
Yeah.
I've never seen him live. You gotta play hits. Please don't give me these new songs that no one's listening to. You can give me, I'll take three. That's fine.
Three new ones in the course of an evening?
That's nice. That's fine. Even four. Give me five, because his songs are short. You want to give me five hits, play a new one, five hits, play a new one, and give me 25 songs for the night, hour and a half, in and out. I'm good with that. But for the love of God, please don't come out there and play your new album that no one wants to hear.
I actually think like a guy like Paul McCartney, tops would give you three new ones. Tops.
And that's great. And that to me is great. It might even make me want to download it or buy it if, in fact, it was mixed in with all the good stuff. But don't hit me over the head with it.
Yeah.
Funny.
But it's funny. Like, if people went to go see Foo Fighters, the fans, they'd be into the new Foo Fighters stuff. You know what I mean? There are certain bands that are still... When they put out new records,
they're
still relevant, right?
I love Paul McCartney. His new music isn't relevant anymore.
You're right. That's a good point.
So Foo Fighters put out new albums, they still become hits.
Right.
Have the chance to become hits. Paul McCartney's not putting out an album that's going to top Jet. Or Live and Let Die. I mean, it's the year 2024.
Yeah.
He hit it big with the Beatles in 1962.
And then hit it big again with Wings.
He did. Well, he was still at the top of his game
at
that point. And then a little resurgence with Michael Jackson in the mid-80s when they collaborated on a couple of songs. But my God, I mean, it's 2024. You're a great, great, great grandfather, for Christ's sake.
Yes.
We don't need new music.
Yeah, I remember he put out an album in, I think, 89, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. I might have had it.
Called Flowers in the Dirt.
Yes, I had that.
Which he wrote a lot of the songs with Elvis Costello.
Oh, okay.
And, N.E.W. played it.
Mm-hmm.
N.E.W. was playing it. Same with K-Rock. They were playing a couple songs there. And I remember I saw him on that tour, and he did a handful of those songs, but I was enjoying them.
But even, all right, so let's conceptually think of this. 1989. 1962, he was an 18, 19-year-old kid with the Beatles. That's 27 years ago. He was in his 40s. The Foo Fighters are still churning out relevant music in 2024. They broke out in the mid-90s after Nirvana ended. That's longer. So you can tell me 1989 for Paul McCartney. Yeah, okay. When I look back now. Not 2024.
Yeah.
That's 52 years ago.
Isn't it amazing?
It's 62 years ago.
Think about this. The drummer for Nirvana.
Yeah.
Is like the king of rock and roll right now.
And has been.
Yeah.
For a decade.
The guy was the drummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His story is interesting, too, which I'm sure you've seen when he talks about how he felt guilty and wouldn't release music at first because he felt like the Nirvana fans, and they did when he ultimately did start releasing stuff, came after him, you know, like, what about your friend? You got to move on with your life, unfortunately.
Yeah, and then if I recall, he played all of the instruments on that first Foo Fighters record.
Yes, I did see that.
Yeah, he would just do everything himself.
I guess you record everything at once and then they put it all together and make it sound.
Yeah, I think you record like a track at a time. So maybe first you record the guitar, then he goes back and while the guitar is playing, he's playing the bass, the drums.
Really a stupid thing that I just said. No, ass face. He played a guitar with his left hand. He drummed with his right, sang with his lips. I mean, what am I talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He used his left foot only for the drumming, Jerry.
Oh, my God. What a moron, yes.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show. I've got an afternoon now of looking for rock music.
Did you ever look into that stuff with the aliens yesterday?
I did.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Anything interesting?
I was listening to Gary Nolan, Stanford University professor, who talks about aliens, and he was a guest on Tucker Carlson about 2 years ago. It was a lengthy interview, so I was watching that while I was cooking dinner, eating dinner. So his claim is... He says 100%. He says this is not even the people question it. It's silly. It is 100%. There are spaceships and beings from other planets that are coming here. He has met with people who have gotten very ill. He has studied materials from crash sites, studied the brains of people who've become ill from their interactions. This guy's 100% believing and all this. And he's very convincing because of his credentials.
Isn't that terrifying, though?
Yeah. And like somebody wrote, like, you know, you say, like, why isn't this front page news? Somebody wrote on the, you know, on the comments on the YouTube video.
Yeah.
The guy's like, why doesn't this have like 10 million views?
Yes.
It had like 70,000 views.
I don't. Yeah. It is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't.
Very interesting.
No, I'm going to have to check it out now.
Yep.
Thanks, Al.
Gary Nolan.
All right.
All right, let's do the warm-up show. Mm. We'll be back here tomorrow on a Wednesday. See ya!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
Hey, here we go. A couple minutes after 5 o'clock, the Eddie Scuzzeri, what is up? And the monster Nick fan that he is, even though he's wearing the beautiful new Expos hoodie that Boomer gave him yesterday. Al Dukes, what up, Al?
Good morning, Jerry. There's so much going on. My goodness, you can pick a sport, you could pick a local team. We've got the Knicks, of course. The Islanders lost.
Yeah, the Knicks are the story, though.
Yeah, I suppose.
The Knicks are the story. They got the back page and the bottom of the front page.
You got Zach Wilson traded.
No one cares.
False.
Zach Wilson, no one cares.
That's not true at all.
It
People
is true.
Are happy
no
to have
cares.
Him off the team.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean...
Zach stinks!
It's completely irrelevant this morning.
Yeah.
Zach stinks.
Well, that's what's funny about sports talk, Jerry. Because the Knicks are the story. But I'll turn the station on. No one's talking Knicks for months. But now we're interested in the Knicks because they're winning playoff games. Is this, Jerry, like the Milwaukee Bucks Twitter account put out yesterday?
Which we talked about yesterday.
That what happened in 82 games, nobody really cares. It's what you do now.
I brought that up to the guys yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, you post that, fans are pissed.
Yes, they are.
And understandably so, when you're going to charge hundreds, and in some cases thousands of dollars for tickets for regular season games, and then all of a sudden your Twitter account posts that?
Yes.
That's a pretty crappy thing. It's almost a slap in the face to the fans that do spend their money to go to games.
Well, then let's not go to the regular season games, and we'll only go to playoff games, because that's where all the magic happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can say that about anything. That is true.
Except NFL, I think, because the NFL is only 16 games.
It is different, yes.
Every game you win or lose is very important.
Every game is an event.
Every game is an event.
That is very true.
What if we did this? NBA 16-game season. And then...
Yeah, just have an NBA tournament.
And then just do like the NCAA tournament, but NBA style.
Yeah.
Of course,
I still like watching the games, so I wouldn't go for that. But if you want to, that's fine.
Of course, we'd have to cut the salaries down because they'd be a lot less games.
Significantly.
Yeah.
That is very true.
But all that, like, also, do we need to watch sports for the first three quarters of games, or should we just put
Depends on the game.
The fourth quarter, second, third period, eighth.
Depends
inning,
on the game.
That sort of thing.
100, it always depends on the game. If you get a close game late, then you could, like, I think you could, for the most part, last night, watch the last, honestly, you could come in and watch the last 2 minutes of this game last night and feel like you're caught up, even though you missed everything that led up to it.
Yeah.
Then there are other games that, if the game is decided in the fourth quarter, like early in a blowout, and you just turn it on with 3 minutes to go and a team's down 24, you have no idea how that happened.
Correct.
So it does depend on the way things go. But last night's an example of all you really need to see, for the most part, is the last couple of minutes of that game, because it was, while it wasn't Reggie Miller, it's pretty stinking close to what the Knicks did last night, which was, and that's why we watch. It was fun.
Yeah, no, it was watching the replay when I got in this morning here, mm-hmm. Jerry. It was quite an atmosphere, both in the Garden, then again out on the street of the
Garden.
Do people just come out of the Madison Square Garden and they just land on, what is that, like 8th Avenue or something? Or 7th Avenue?
I think it's all around those.
And then they just go nuts?
It seems like it, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but they seem like a happy nuts.
They're starved for a winner.
Like, we're not flipping over police cars.
No.
We're not diving on top of cabs.
Not greasing poles, I don't believe.
Yeah. So I wonder what happens. At what point do you go, let's flip a cop car instead of just like going, chanting, go New York, go New York, go, which sounds fun.
Well, I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think, and it's been a while, I don't think since any time a New York team has won a championship, I don't believe we flipped over cars and acted like complete a-holes. I don't.
That's good.
I do think the New York fan has represented themselves very well, comparatively speaking, to other cities. That said, let's see if the Knicks win a title this year, what happens. I don't think they'll react any differently.
Like, well, I was watching videos this morning of the fans out on the streets,
mm-hmm.
and it looked like normally I would run away from seeing crowds of people.
You'll be part of that, don't you?
That looked fun.
Yeah.
Like, I would just jump up and down and go, go New York, go New York, go.
Yeah, they were into it. And that's, you want to talk about, getting a quick high, a natural high. If you're in that building last night, I am sure, not many, but I'm sure some people left in that final minute before they came back.
Oh, man.
They've got to be just miserable this morning. And the ones that stayed, which were most of them, if not just about every one of them, they walk out of that building like, what the hell did we just watch? Like, how awesome was that? And it feels, not saying the Knicks are going to go win an NBA championship, but it just has the feel of a team that's just going to keep finding ways to win.
Right, because again, Jalen Brunson, Jerry, not a good game.
No, tough. They're playing him really tough, and he's not making the shots that he made all season long. The guy who does not get enough credit, and I understand Brunson made the three, and I get that DiVincenzo made the go-ahead three and all of that, is Isaiah Hartenstein. I mean, not only does he get the offensive rebound after DiVincenzo misses, which would have not ended the game, but you would think the Sixers probably win at that point, because I think there would have only been maybe 14 seconds to go, and the Knicks probably commit a foul. They go up to the line, probably make it a two-possession game again. Not only does he do that, but after the Sixers then call timeout, they go down Maxey, who had the game of the night, who is just unbelievable going to the rim. He blocks a shot that would have put the Sixers back in front. So it was the combination of a lot of different dudes, and once again, the Knicks just better.
Do they, like Tommy Lugauer said, have dogs damage? What is the other thing? He goes, dudes,
dogs do damage or something like that.
Dudes, dogs damage.
Well, they're doing damage on the rebounding, number one. Number two, they're hitting big shots. They continue to defend. I would say so. I mean, you tell me what you didn't like, aside from being down five in the final minute. I get that. What would you take from that, these first two games that you don't like, other than Jalen Brunson struggling with a shot?
That's it.
That's it. They protected their home floor. They basically kicked the Sixers in the head last night. Like, they got to go back to Philly, like, woozy. Like, what? They probably feel like they played better the first two games, but the Knicks outworked them on the glass, and that's why the Knicks are up two games. I don't know why that would change.
So the Sixers led by five, Jerry, with 27 seconds left.
Yeah, so Kyle Lowry's at the free throw line with 47 seconds to go. They're up four. He makes the first free throw, puts them up five. I think it's 47.1. He then misses the next free throw, and then the Knicks go down the floor, and it was Brunson that the ball goes through the hoop with 27 seconds left. It hit the rim, went high in the air, and went through. Then the Sixers go to inbound. They basically pull Maxey to the ground, take the ball away from him. And I know there were other calls that weren't made. Knicks steal it. DiVincenzo misses the three. Hartenstein the rebound. Back out. DiVincenzo hits the three. Knicks up by one.
And then they hit free throws to tack on some more points.
Well, you get the and then you get the timeout, then you get the block. Knicks rebound it. I mean, Knicks rebound it. They commit the foul. Knicks two free throws, and there's your game. And then Embiid misses. I wouldn't say. I mean, it's makeable. It wasn't a great look. He misses a three at the buzzer that would have tied the game.
So with 27 seconds left, down by five, if you're one of these dudes who left, when you go into the office today, assuming you're not working from home like most of America, you tell people you were at that game?
I would.
Me too. That was exciting.
Do you really want to say you left?
That sucks. I mean, think of how many different events people have gone to and missed.
Yeah.
The greatest part of the event.
No question.
Because we left early.
No doubt.
That sucks.
There's no doubt about it. Not everybody stays till the bitter end.
Yeah.
That is
yeah, like leaving
true.
The Super Bowl after it, you know, goes to overtime.
Oh, yeah.
Miss the overtime or something.
Not Dude, me.
Was that you guys?
Nope.
Was that really? Did you guys leave? You didn't see overtime?
No, I saw overtime.
Well, who are you talking about? I don't know who you're talking about.
I think Eddie left early.
Oh, is that true?
Go New York, go New York.
He's not
go.
Saying that. I'm lost right now.
Okay. I don't know. So is the audience.
Okay.
The
Fair
audience
enough.
Is also lost. So I did see, Jerry, when the Knicks were down 101-96, their win probability was 4%. What kind of bet you think you could have gotten in that situation?
A lot. It would have had to have been quick, though, because that would have been...
right, I would have had to thumb through that app.
Yeah. Because Lowry was at the free throw line, so you would have, you really would have been quick to make that bet. I don't know. It would have been. I mean, if you're telling me a 4% chance
4%.
To win, which that sounds like. I know it was a wild finish, and they weren't supposed to win when you're down five with, and it's a little more than that when they had the ball with, but they score with 27 seconds to go. In this day and age of the NBA, though, with the 3-point shot, I'm surprised that's all the chance was.
Right, because you just keep going down.
Yeah.
Three.
I mean, you go down, hit a three, you're down two, right, because they were down five. You commit a foul, even if they make two, you're down four. There's still plenty of time to go to hit. I don't know. That's surprising. That's all it was.
Do you feel that Nick Nurse is correct in that he was trying to call timeouts?
No,
do
I don't.
Not? Why,
no.
Why is that?
You know, because I heard the clip. It's nothing I know. So, like, I fell asleep at halftime. I actually wanted to stay up, and I tried, and I passed out at halftime. So I came in and watched. I didn't even watch the entire second half. I watched the last 4 minutes of the game, to your point about feeling like you're caught up.
Yeah.
Then before I came in here, I hadn't even gotten to the sound yet, the postgame sound. I heard McMonagle talking about this Nick Nurse stuff, and then he played the clip. I'm like, all right, I didn't notice anything when I watched it, so I went back and watched it again. Does he call timeout? Yeah, he does. The problem with what he's saying is the way he is talking, it sounds like he was demonstrative as they
Correct.
Were like they were having trouble getting the ball, and I thought he was calling timeout right at that very moment. He's not. He puts his hands up in like a pyramid, I guess, to call a play. They inbound the ball, and as soon as he sees Maxey get into a little bit of trouble, that's when the first timeout sign goes. But right as he hits timeout, the ball is knocked loose. He doesn't have it. So did he call timeout? Yeah. Would I have given it to him? No. I don't think there was clear possession at that point. I think the officials actually got it right.
Is that right?
I do.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I do.
Because they said they're filing a grievance.
They can file the grievance. It's not going to matter anyway.
Grievances never work.
No. Think about, how about the two or three times this year where the NBA officials came out after the game and said, our bad, we screwed up. Nothing happens. Oh, okay, great. Doesn't
Correct.
Matter.
Yeah, nothing ever happens when you go like, this game, although it's fun to say, this game is under protest.
You can do that. Doesn't It's not going to do a damn thing. I think it's like, we went over this when it happened with the Knicks in San Antonio, and I think it was like, there was like one protest that ever got upheld in like 1,000 tries. It's not going to mean anything.
Do you think Joel Embiid believes himself when he said after the game that the Sixers will win the series? Or do you think he's trying to psych himself up and the fans in Philadelphia?
That's a great question.
Like, does he really believe we got this?
I don't know how you could.
Because he said, we're good, we're going to win this series.
Yeah.
I guess you got to be confident.
You have to be confident. He's not 100%, that's obvious, and yet he still puts up you know, last night, 35 points and 10 rebounds or something. Maxey's got 35 points, and yet they're still losing. Like, I'd walk out of there and be like, God, what else do we have to do aside from rebound? I would think any superstar at this level feels like they can always go win four games. But that's a great question, because I don't know that you can leave that floor feeling very confident.
Right.
I mean, for what Maxey and Embiid have done, and for what they've done to Brunson, to be down 0-2, I wouldn't be too confident.
Yeah.
Would you?
No, I would not be confident at all.
Now,
but I guess I would say it.
They are going home. I thought a caller had a very good point at the end, before I came in here with C-Mac. If that game is in Philly, do they call a foul on the strip of Maxey? And I think the answer is yes. I do. Yeah, I do think the environment and the emotion, even though officials will probably tell you that's not true, I do think that plays a part.
I didn't see any close-up of that action. Everything I saw was in real time.
Just so much contact.
Yeah, it's a lot of contact.
And
like they're wrestling.
Yeah, and I think I do agree with that caller. If that game is in Philadelphia, they probably make that call. That said, I love that they let them play. I mean, the one thing, look at the scores of these playoff games, if you've noticed. And now we can go back before we take a break to your original point with the Bucks Twitter page. You look at the way games are played in the regular season. It seems like they're just out there to entertain us, and it doesn't matter. While the Knicks played hard all year, now teams are starting to ratchet up the intensity and the defense, and these scores look more like basketball when we grew up. You know, the Nuggets beat the Lakers 101-99. The Knicks and Sixers, you know, 104-101. Even the Cavaliers and the Magic, I think, was 94-84. That's what we're used to, not this 157-130 crap.
Yeah, let's play some defense.
Yeah, so you're getting it, and the officials are letting them play.
Man, you got so much cool sound to get to today, Jerry.
Yeah.
Like just the Knicks stuff alone.
I agree. The Knicks stuff alone is a segment. I agree. And then you've got, which we'll get to, I guess, at some point, the Islanders just threw up all over themselves last night in a game that they had to have. The Yankees and Aaron Boone.
Right, that's fun audio also.
It's just bizarre. So, yes, we've got a lot to get to today. So
it's a full-packed show, Jerry.
It is a full-packed show for sure. All right, we'll take our first break. Full-packed show continues, I guess we could say. Coming up next, then you got Boomer and Geo at 6 on the Fan.
This is a country
Rebel
song.
Rebel?
This is a country song.
But okay. It's the same song. Remake?
No.
It's not?
Different lyrics. Chevrolet.
The don't you gotta pay. Is that Billy Idol?
Rebel, David Bowie. He's
gonna you gotta pay David Bowie for that, right?
Yeah, I think this is a known I'm using Rebel riff over this song.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, I heard this yesterday. Chris Young is the artist.
Okay. I like it. It's good.
Yeah, I kind of like it, but it is like, that's what sucks is like, it's so hard to make money in music. Now you're going to give half your money to David Bowie.
Well, I mean, I don't know Chris Young. Is he popular? Aside from being
popular.
A Mets pitcher.
He's probably very popular.
Okay.
He'll make it back on concerts.
I'm sure. And he still gets 50%. As you said, he'll make money.
Yeah.
So the David Bowie like estate gets that money, right?
I guess so, yeah. Because he dead, Jerry. He ain't spending none of that money. He's dead.
I do know this.
You're dead.
Yes, he is.
There's a building in Jersey City. I don't know if you see it from when you come, if you're approaching the Holland Tunnel, mm-hmm. You go around that bend before you go down. You come around that bend. If you look into the neighborhood, there's a building that has a giant David Bowie face on the side of the building.
No, I never noticed.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's weird, wild stuff, Jerry.
David Bowie fans. Is he from Jersey City?
He's not.
Well, right.
But they get wild in Jersey City, Jerry. You better be prepared for May 3rd.
I went to college there. I know.
Oh, you went to college in Jersey City.
Jersey City State, which is now New Jersey City University. That is true. Class of... It's a great question.
Class of something.
98, I believe.
Rebel.
My six-year college journey ended.
Nice.
In 98.
At Jersey City State. That's where your degree is from?
Yeah.
Okay. Now it's a different school.
Yeah, we were the last graduating class of Jersey City State College. Now they're New Jersey City University.
So, like, when I went to Kane, it was Kane College of New Jersey. Now it's Kane University.
Correct.
So when people ask me where I went to school, what do I say? Do I say Kane University or do I say Kane College?
You know, I still say Jersey City State. That's what I say. I would just say Kane.
Just like Trenton State is now the College
of
Rowan? New Jersey.
Oh, okay. What's Rowan then?
Rowan is, I think it was Glassboro.
Glassboro State, that's right.
Why are you changing all the names of these schools?
Well, I think because the Rowans donated a bleep load of money.
That'll do it, Jerry.
I'm pretty sure.
That will do it.
Yes.
Cash will do it. I was just watching Islanders Hurricanes highlights.
Yeah,
boy, they blowed that one, Jerry.
Yeah,
they
did.
Islanders.
This is another, wasn't it just, I played the, oh God, what game was it? The Predators in Vancouver. Where they scored two goals in 12 seconds. And it was like the announcers couldn't even get set because after the goal, another goal. This was 2 and 9 seconds last night.
The Islanders had a 3-2 lead with 2:12 remaining.
Oh, my God.
And gave up 2 goals in 9 seconds. Game over, dude.
So do you think, all right, here's a good question for you. Who goes home more confident, the Sixers or the Islanders? Because you've got two stunning losses to where two road teams were going to even up the series. And very similar in that the Islanders didn't have a great season but a great finish. The Sixers had a weird season because Embiid missed half of the season, but in games he played before the series began, they were 30-8 in games Embiid played in. Which team goes back more confident?
I'm going to say that the Islanders go back more confident.
I happen to agree with you.
Because I have a feeling from what people have said that the games in Philadelphia are going to be a lot of Knicks fans there. That's what it sounds like is going on down there.
Yeah, which surprises me because I really look at Philadelphia as a great sports city.
Yeah.
I don't know if that changes now because they're down 0-2, that they decide to sell their tickets to make a fortune from the Knicks fan, or if that was going to be the case right from the very start. I can't imagine that if the Sixers came home up 2-0, that the Sixer fan was selling their ticket to New York fans. Not that you know when you put it on social media, but you know who's going to buy those tickets.
That's a rough thing, though, Jerry. Imagine, can you really consider yourself a sports fan for your team if you're down 2-0 in the playoffs and you sell your ticket to get big money?
Let me ask you this question, because I think the easy answer is no.
Yeah.
But now I'll put it to you this way. You spent $175 a ticket for 4 tickets.
All right.
You spent $700. You've got an opportunity to get back $2,500.
Yeah, I'm probably selling that bad boy.
Right.
I'd probably even let them Airbnb stay in my house.
Free parking in my driveway.
For an extra couple bucks, yeah.
Matter of fact, I'll drive you to the game.
Yeah, let them ride in.
That's right.
So we had a fun situation in the Yankee game yesterday afternoon game.
First batter of the game.
Yeah, Aaron Boone got tossed. This says just 2 batters into the game.
Was it 2? I thought it was the leadoff batter.
Second batter in.
Okay.
He and the ump were arguing, and then the ump threw him out. Clearly the thing the ump was upset about was said by a fan and not Aaron Boone.
Right. Like he was right above the dugout, right?
Right above the dugout, and you can see there's an isolated camera on Aaron Boone who says nothing when he gets thrown out, and then an isolated camera on this dude in the stands who yells something, and right then and there, the ump throws him out. So this, like, where is this guy? How is he not? If that was me,
yeah,
I'm a fan in the stands. Mm-hmm. I know I clearly got Aaron Boone tossed because of something I said. I'm calling into WFAN immediately.
He should. Maybe he will. You've pretty much just put it out there for him to call in.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's fun.
This is one, unfortunately, I was not home at all yesterday until I got home to settle in for the Knick game. So I read the game story. I will go back and watch this when we get done here because I haven't seen this yet. I just read about it. I'm curious to see, you know, how the whole thing transpired because to get, even if it was Aaron Boone, let's just say, and I know it wasn't, let's just say for the moment that he's chirping that early in the game. I mean, for an umpire to throw him out a batter or two into a game, I mean, you want to talk about sensitive. I mean, these umpires suck.
That was weird. Then the ump did meet the media.
Yeah, well, sometimes they will request that.
Okay. And then he was even in there saying, like, I don't want to, when I hear chatter from the dugout, the manager's going, I don't want to throw a player out because the fans paid to see the player. But Aaron Boone, he's responsible for the Yankees. So if I hear something in this dugout, you're gone.
Which is all, which is true and not true. Is he responsible for the dugout? Sure. But the idea that you wouldn't throw out another, we've seen other coaches get tossed. That's not a universal thought. There's been many times you've seen a bench coach get chirpy and they point right at him and say, get out of here. It's not, hey, Matt, you know, Aaron, you can't control him. You're out of here. He can stay. That's not true.
No, it's great, too, with this audio. And I say, you know, this is a solid audio day. It is pretty clear the conversation that's being had between the ump and Aaron Boone.
Right.
It is very, like, I love that the microphones picked all this up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love to, you know, all these, for years and years, we'd see managers like Earl Weaver and Billy Martin yelling at umpires.
Right.
And we, Lou Piniella. And we never really got to hear exactly what, now you're hearing, like, everything.
Terry Collins. My ass in the jackpot.
Yeah.
That's right.
And in fact, the broadcasters on Yes, it wasn't Michael Kay, it was somebody else who said...
was it John Flaherty?
Yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, John Flaherty. He said, we don't need a John Boy Media breakdown of this one.
No, right.
It was crystal.
You
want to
hear? I have it on... I have the FAN version.
Oh, the censored
I haven't
version.
Heard it yet.
All right, let's hear that.
Let's
then.
See how this sounds. I hope Eddie just be standby. I don't know if it's censored or not.
So Rodon hits Ruiz. Speedy runner on the first base bag. And the first pitch to Tyler Nevin is a called strike.
Tyler Nevin hitting 286.
Hey, you're not yelling at me. I did what I'm supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say?
Well, those microphones work really well, Susan, down
well,
the field.
Well, that's what happens when you have an echo in here. There's not. Well, did everybody hear that? It was. He didn't swear or anything. It was fine.
And Hunter Wendell said it's just thrown out Aaron Boone.
Oh, boy.
I don't care who said it. You're gone.
Yeah, because he came running out like I didn't say anything.
Was there anybody there?
No, it was pretty empty.
I mean, I know it's the A's and a 1 o'clock game on a Monday, but my Lord.
Yeah. Then when Boone comes out after he's tossed, that's when the microphones catch the
all the good
salty
stuff.
Language. Yeah.
Ooh, I have to go through and find it.
Yeah, it's good.
And Wendell said after that it wasn't the fan. He said there was somebody down at the other end of the dugout, which I think is a BS cover.
It's BS because when you see the slow motion of the fan, and then the ump turns and goes, go!
That's pretty funny.
But that guy's got to be out there.
Yeah, he is out there somewhere. It's just a matter of if you're going to get him on the show today or not.
Think how fun that is. You buy a ticket to a game.
Right.
And then you're part of the game. Like it happened to Bartman, unfortunately,
in this case. Yeah.
It happened to that dude that took a Derek
the home run away in the
Jeffrey
Orioles.
Meyer. Jeffrey Meyer.
Yeah, the Jeter cheater.
Yep.
Like, there are times when you go to a ball game and you become part of the game.
Yeah. How about the girl in Los Angeles with the Ohtani home run?
Yes.
She became a story. That's very true. Yeah.
That kid who was having popcorn and Don Mattingly came over and ate his popcorn. That kid was part of that game.
Garrett Cole.
Cool. What did he do?
Holding up the sign as a young boy.
As a young boy, Jerry.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Like that guy.
Darren from the 7 line started a business because he was on camera every game. Look at me. And now we got the sports pimp or whatever we call this guy that Andy Martino's all upset about.
The Mets pimp.
The Mets rally pimp. Whatever.
The Mets rally pimp.
Yeah. These are fun storylines.
You could get part of the game. Like, we need this guy, whoever he is, to call FAN this morning.
Yeah.
Call between 6 and 10.
I know you watched these highlights and you saw it. What was the, and again, it was just a couple batters in.
Yeah.
Was it balls? Where did it start?
It was two strikes.
Right.
And then there was an inside pitch that the ump believed hit the batter.
Okay.
And Boone believed was a swing. And
that's where it started.
Okay. They sent him to first base.
Right.
Then Boone was not happy. The ump checked with first base. And they're like, yeah, he hit. And then the chaos ensued.
Clearly. And then the Yankees basically proceed to bore their fans for the next 2.5 hours by coming up with three hits.
Shut out again, Jerry. Weren't they shut out this weekend? They were shut out on John Sterling Day on Saturday, 2-0.
That's right, by the Rays.
Yeah.
So
shut out again, Jerry.
This just weird.
This powerful offense.
Yeah, and Aaron Judge back once. I know it's only April 23rd, so all it takes for him is one or two swings, and he can hit 7 home runs in his next 9 at-bats. I totally get that. But, man, he looks like a shell of himself right now at the plate.
Yeah, and this came up yesterday, like, should the fans boo Aaron Judge? I think you do boo him.
You can.
That's part of the,
you
can. Part of the fun.
I wouldn't, but I wouldn't fault you for doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, the tickets are a lot of money. You are getting paid. This is what comes, you know, when it's one thing to have expectations. When you have expectations and a gigantic contract, be careful, Eddie, and a big contract to go with it, you're going to take the, you're going to hear it. You just are, because this is what I've always said to you. Like, what does that money mean exactly? Like, you're paid to go out there and perform. You're not paid to go out there and bat 174. And this is why guaranteed contracts in baseball to me are a joke, and why they're not guaranteed in football is a joke, because while, yes, you can make the case about you still have to perform, you can also die on any play.
You could.
And I guess theoretically with baseball, you get hit in the head with, okay, fine. It's a little different, though, than the NFL or in the NHL, where there is violent contact on every single play. So I don't know how you ever change it. I don't know if it ever will. But these salaries, and forget all that. I'm not even talking about the cable money. I don't mean that. I mean in terms of your performance, the amount of money these guys get paid is a joke. It just is.
Right, and if you break it down by game,
yeah,
and then they go 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts.
Yeah. I mean, $40 million a year isn't quite $1 million a week, but it's about $900,000 a week. And then if you take away all the weeks that they don't play, so let's say the baseball season is, let's just say, they start getting paid in spring training, we'll say, March 1st to October 1st. So that's 3 to 10, that's a 7-month season. So in 28 weeks, you make $40 million.
That's pretty good.
$1.5 million a week.
Yeah, that's pretty good cash here.
To go 1-for-16 and strike out 9 times.
Yeah.
Like, don't you feel guilty almost cashing that check? I know they don't, but.
Like, yeah, I think you can boo Aaron Judge. I don't think you would insult him or his family, like, with verbal attacks. But just the sound of booing, I think, is that's part of the ballpark.
They all got booed. Mickey Mantle got booed.
Yes.
Derek Jeter got booed.
Right.
A-Rod lived with the boos.
He loved a good boo.
They have all gotten booed.
Yeah, you got to boo. It's part of going to the ballpark.
Yep. Understood. But apparently, yeah, Don't boo Juan Soto, because the Yankee fans want him to re-sign.
Oh, right. And they'll think if you they boo want to give, him.
They want to give him $60 million a year.
Let's give it. Yeah, I say $162 million a year, $1 million every game.
When do you think? Right, when will we see that in our lifetime?
In our lifetime, yes.
I don't know about that.
The unprecedented one. Like, first there was the $1 million ball player.
Yes.
This is going to be the $1 million a game. Because football players get that already.
They do. Much different, though. As you say, it's only 16 games. So you can break that up more. You got to remember the extra work. Like, they put in work during the week that baseball players are playing games in. Their season is not nearly as long. It goes August to, let's say, January. But they are 5 days a week, whereas the baseball players 6 days a week playing games. I'm going to say no, because I really do feel like while Soto might get a big deal, I do think there's been a little bit of a market correction, because you saw all those guys that didn't get contracts this offseason. So I'm going to say no, but I don't know long after we're gone, dead and buried, that doesn't happen.
It will depend on what the TV deals look like going forward.
Yeah, and I can't imagine baseball's TV deals getting better. I think the TV deals get worse, and they try and figure it out with different avenues, with YouTubes and different streaming and different clips and the way they make money. I don't know that what network would buy into Major League Baseball right now? Honestly.
I don't know.
Like, I get regionally, because we know it's a regional sport, just like hockey is. Your New York fans, but they're not interested in the Texas Rangers and the Diamondbacks in the World Series. So if you were a big network, why?
The only thing I would say, Jerry, is these networks love live sports.
Yes, but it's got to make at some point, it's got to make financial sense. At some point. And I feel like we're getting there.
I hope so. You know, that's a dream of mine.
Yeah, I'm well aware, yes. I am aware.
One of my dreams, Jerry.
Will it be corrected before you retire?
Yeah. Yes.
I think it'll be on the verge. I do. All right, quick break. 5:39. 5:39. It's Tuesday. That means Boomer and Gio are here on the Fan.
Tell me what you think of this new Pearl Jam, Jerry.
Slow.
Yeah, I like it, though. It's got a nice vibe.
I'd say it's bad. but this is an even flow. That's for sure.
Even
or alive. That's good. I like the Chris Young. So far, the Chris Young song is the winner of the morning.
Oh, really?
I thought that was outstanding.
All right.
Like, that will go to my playlist today. So, you, Chris Young, you're welcome for the extra half a penny you're going to get from my download.
And David Bowie, you're also welcome.
Yes, that's
Jerry's
right.
Going to give you the other part of the penny.
The David Bowie estate.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of vibing out to this on the ride in this morning. I was liking it, yeah.
Where do you get... I still listen to our 92.3 HD2,
yeah,
which is where I will hear new music. Is yours from
it's a great
different
question.
Odyssey stations? Is it Spotify? No, TV?
It sucks. I don't have anything now. You know what I have? Sometimes Spike sends me stuff. It's like, okay. Hey, check this out.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Or sometimes I'll go on Spotify, like the rock playlist or the hot country playlist. But I feel a lack of new stuff. And I'm feeling that, Jerry, and I don't like it one bit. Like, I'll know when Pearl Jam puts out a new thing or Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
But what's something new that might be catchy and fun that I've never heard of them?
Yeah. It's hard to break through then.
Hard to break through.
Mm-hmm.
I actually texted Gio over the weekend. I said, am I missing? Are there any new country songs that are catchy and fun?
Because now's the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he wrote back. He goes, he did give me one by an artist named Shaboozy. It's kind of like a country with an R&B type of feel.
Okay.
And I did like it. I did add it to my playlist.
Shaboozy.
And the song is called A Bar Song, Tipsy.
Wait, time out. A country music song about a bar and liquor? You're
yeah,
kidding.
That's what I'm saying. Unbelievable. Yeah, so I don't know. I need to find some. Like, there's an Odyssey station in Chicago, WXRT, which for a long time, and I don't know if it still is, I'll have to look into this. It was sort of an eclectic rock station where they would play some like alternative rock, classic rock. That was a really nice mixture.
Yeah.
I got to look to see if that still exists.
Isn't that what Chernoff tried to do with 102.7 back in the day?
I don't know what he was doing over there, Jerry. There was a weird time of music where like when alternative music was first coming out.
Right.
Before the Nirvana version and all that stuff. Before the 90s version, where they tried adding some of those tracks in. I don't know if it worked.
Yeah. Well, it didn't, because they went back to classic rock,
correct,
I think, and then they went to talk.
Good point, right. So, they were like, enough of this. Let's do some talk.
Well, I still recommend the 92.3 HD2.
Okay.
I do. They
That's
do give
idea.
You a good mix of new music still.
Maybe I'll check that out, Jerry.
Yep.
I forget about HD channels.
Yeah, I don't, because I actually have them pre-programmed in my car. That's how I remember them. So I've got, Wins, obviously, is on 92.3 now. But I have 92.3 HD2 programmed in my car. So that actually comes up as just a regular station now for me, which is why I listen to it often.
I'm going to do that, Jerry.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Look at that.
All right. What else do I have for you, Jerry? I have, do you have interest in this? May 5th.
Cinco de Mayo.
Which is, I think, a Sunday.
It is, because our live show is Friday the 3rd.
Yeah.
Correct.
So this is a Sunday at 8 p.m. It's live, though, on Netflix. The live roast of Tom Brady.
No. Might I watch it on Monday? Maybe. I don't know. Depends on what kind of buzz there is about it.
Yeah. It's hosted by Kevin Hart.
Okay.
And then it's just a bunch of comedians making fun of Tom Brady.
Is Nikki Glaser part of this?
You know, I did not see a list. Was not able to see a list other than Jeffrey Ross, who is the roast master, as they say. He'll be there. But
does
he
do anything else?
No, he's a roast master.
That's his job.
Yep.
Okay.
Here's who I need to see on that panel. We need Nikki Glaser.
Yeah.
We need
anybody else?
Dave Attell, I like. Oh, I know he's a roast guy. All the good roast guys died. Greg Giraldo was good.
Where's
dead.
Don Rickles?
Don Rickles would be terrific.
He's passed away.
Maybe.
Do you ever watch the old ones?
The old roast? No.
They're actually fun.
The ones with like Don Rickles and things?
Yeah, yeah. There's the one I'm with the, what's his name? Ralph Cramden. What the hell's his name? Jackie Gleason.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool to see them. Like, you see Lucille Ball sitting there with her bright red hair. Jackie Gleason's there smoking this gigantic cigarette. Don Rickles is mocking them. And it's raunchy, but nowhere near what these have become. I mean, some of these are just, you don't even want to repeat them. They're so bad.
Yeah, and not only does the person like Tom Brady will get roasted, whoever's sitting there will also get ripped to shreds.
Oh, absolutely. You think you're just an innocent bystander. No, you're not.
I would do my whole roast act on his fake hair that he has that we're all ignoring.
Brady.
And pretending that it's his actual hair.
No, give them time. I'm sure they will.
They better.
I'm sure they will. That is funny. I'm trying. Who's the, what's the, I tell you, my brain is not working this morning. The guy from the shooting and the, I can't, it's unbelievable. On set, he's in New York. Help me out here.
Alec Baldwin?
Yes. The roast of him was rough.
Yeah, they were doing them on Comedy Central for a while.
That one I've watched.
Yeah.
I don't know how you sit there. I know it's for fun, and most, they always say it's for charity, so I guess you got to take it. But there were some I would think, has anybody ever gotten up and punched someone in the face?
No, I guess they know, you know, part of the that's part of the process.
I know, but holy crap. Some of them go way over the line.
Imagine that feeling, right? Well, like, let's say we're doing the roast of Boomer Esiason, and I'm up here doing my thing. And I'm like, Jerry Recco is here. You got to be like, oh, no, I'm about to get clobbered.
Do you think you're just mocking Boomer? Oh, no, no, you're part of it.
I attack Boomer, and then I go, well, Jerry Recco's here. Jerry, good to see you. Then,
well, we were at a roast, right?
We were years ago
at the
Waldorf.
Or,
I thought it was the Waldorf, wasn't it?
It was not the Friars Club. It may have been the Friars Roast of Boomer Esiason, but
yes,
it was not.
I think the Waldorf, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't remember laughing at that.
No, you were very getting very agitated because you kept looking at your watch.
Because, that sounds about right.
Yes, because if I remember correctly, that was supposed to be like a two-hour luncheon, and it went like 4 hours. It was very lengthy.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yes.
I do remember Gilbert Gottfried came out dressed like Joe Montana. Do you remember that?
That was hilarious. Yeah.
Gilbert's not for everyone.
I do remember.
But even he's dead.
I know. And one of my favorite, I know it's one of my favorite movies, but one of his favorite little cameo appearances was in Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
When, you know, Axel Foley goes in with the fake parking tickets. He hangs up the phone and his wife picks it back up and yells at her. Very funny.
Yes.
Very funny. So. Oh, well.
Yes. So you're not going to... I will watch that, not live.
I will... No, not live. There's no chance I'll watch it live. Will I watch it again? It will depend on the buzz.
Buzz,
and
no
there's
buzz.
No doubt we'll have clips of it.
Yeah. They put out yesterday... I was excited because Netflix put out a trailer for it, and I didn't know it was live, so I thought I was going to see some clips, but it was really just Tom Brady walking. No holes barred. No Brady rule.
All right. Over, under. Which we can do again Friday, because it's Sunday, or it's
Sunday
the 5th.
Next Sunday.
Over under on how many Brazilian jiu-jitsu trainer jokes there are.
Oh, they're better. They better be coming fast and furious.
You are not. And how about Bridget Moynihan? How many jokes about her? Not her, but about his relationship with her.
I think people even forgot about that one.
Do you?
Yeah. I think they'll go with that he won't eat tomatoes, you know, things like that.
Oh, that'll be hilarious.
The jiu-jitsu thing is
wow.
good. And I hope the fake hair.
So the fake hair, the trainer. Oh, deflating balls. Mm. They'll have testicle jokes left and right.
Ball
you know
deflating.
That.
Yeah, you're right.
You know that. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, guess who's standing by? Boomer and Geo. They are waiting. Right now, standing by with an Odyssey Sports. Her name is Amy Lawrence.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
All right, we got 1 minute to go, and then Boomer and Geo literally standing by, ready to rock at 6 o'clock. What else?
I saw Andy Reid, Jerry. He got a deal for 2029.
Yeah,
man, that's like years from now.
Yeah, it's really not that far away.
What's this year right now?
It's when, it's when you retire.
Five more years. That's pretty good for a guy everyone thinks is going to retire and tack on 5 more years.
I wants to hang out with Patrick Mahomes.
I would keep winning Super Bowls with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, but why not go 1 year at a time? They're not going to get rid of you. Yeah, well, you can up the cash. Then if you want to bail, you
more
bail.
More guaranteed money for him, whatever. If he wants
he
a quitty quits.
At night. You know, he's got the extra, you know, $125 million coming.
God bless him.
Yeah, because right now he's like, what?
How am I paying the electric bill next month?
Yeah, he's rubbing two nickels together, as they say.
He only eats at Chili's.
Is that right?
Yeah, anyway. So
oh, right. Yes, he loves his Chili's.
Love
and then
Chili's.
They go, Matt Ryan retired. I'm sorry, he was a broadcaster last year.
He was announcing games.
What?
Technicality, Al. Technicality.
Nonsense. He retired
already.
He had
to get his $12 million, you know, final paycheck.
WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, on Odyssey Sports Station.